Lord God, I thank you that you are on your throne and that you are at work in your kingdom here on earth, in your kingdom where we are members by our faith in Jesus Christ. So as we give testimony, be glorified in what we say, and Lord, give us ears to hear and be encouraged by the testimonies of others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to go first to demonstrate to you that you can do a testimony in 3 minutes or less. So Bill will give you a 1 minute sign when there's 1 minute left. So we're going to go. So one of the things that I love about New Wineskins is I get to see people that I've known from all around the world that have gone on. Norman and Beth Beal were dear friends when we joined Church of the Savior in 1995. And hearing more about their ministry in Nepal to unreached people groups and seeing how God can use an ordinary, clumsy man like Norman. He did his speech from the front and technology wouldn't work. He kept going backwards and forwards in his slides. And I thought, this is Norman. But hearing the power of God, it was incredible. So the connections. It was also overwhelming hearing about all of the needs in the world, all of these unreached people groups, all of the persecution that's going on in dioceses where, in areas where we know people. We know Pung, and we know Nenshi, and we know Joash, and the persecution, the killing of Christians by Muslims and by those opposed to the faith. And I thought, how do I pray enough? How do I participate enough? This is overwhelming. What do I do? And I went to a seminar on prayer for the nations. And while I was sitting there, I thought, I don't have enough time in the day to pray for all of these nations. And it was becoming a burden. And then I heard the Lord whisper, you got it backwards. I'm on my throne. You're in my kingdom. And I invite you to join me in caring for my sheep in this world. You get to join me as you intercede. So as you go through your day, as you're walking down the street, as you're driving to work, if you will pause and pray, you're just pausing to join me. How different that felt from the burden to try to name every tribe, but to pray for what God brings to mind, or to pray by my prayer guide, or to pray for those that I know. So that was one of my big take homes. How'd I do?
15 seconds.
Okay. All right, so now I'm going to open it up. Does anyone have a testimony they'd like to share?
I'll go.
Okay, Anna.
So I have never gone to New Wineskins. I didn't go this time. But I work for Anglicans for Life, and my boss, Georgette, she goes every year. And this past week, I was by myself in the office. My other coworker doesn't work on Fridays, and she had taken Thursday off. So Thursday and Friday, I was completely alone. Nobody had called the office. I was working on a mailing that we're getting our newsletters out. And I had so much peace. And a lot of you know that 6 years ago, my parents were supposed to fly from Brazil and go to New Wineskins. And that didn't happen because his cancer came back and he ended up going into a coma and because of complications, but he ended up dying during the time that New Wineskins was happening. And so for me, it's a reminder of it. And it was one of those things where I'm sitting there And I'm just babysitting a printer as I'm feeding envelopes through for hours and doing stuff. And it was just, I wasn't stressed. I wasn't grieving. I wasn't sad. It was just like, I could just breathe. And it was really nice, because the previous week was just a lot of heaviness. And my dad's younger brother was in Tower 2 in the World Trade Center, and he did not make it. And so September for me is a lot of grieving and a lot of sadness. And for me to just have peace and quiet and just have a sense of peace was a really, really good blessing. And that is my testimony.
Lord God, I thank you for Anna, and I thank you that she saw your supernatural presence with her as she grieved, and that you gave her peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hello. I am Nenchi Benjamin from Nigeria, from Jos. And my first miracle is that I'm here now. It is an appointed time, because I started applying for Trinity 4 years ago. And the first year, I had so many things going on, so I deferred the application. My father died that year. I was ordained deacon that year. I was ordained priest that year. I got married that year. So many things were happening, and then I just deferred the admission. And then subsequently, I was on a wait list. After that, my application was denied, and then I had to reapply. And why I am seeing it as a miracle is that, first of all, I wouldn't have come if my first application was granted. I wouldn't have met Pen. I wouldn't have met Father Bill and many other people that are here, you know, in Ambridge. I would have gone before they came. And again, my visa was granted in Trump's administration. That's a miracle. Yeah. And it's actually a visa that will last until I'm done with my studies. And then another miracle is that if my admission was granted 3 years ago, I wouldn't have made it to the New Wine Skin this year. And that's a miracle to me, because the reading from Timothy, 2 Timothy, says that people in this day and age will be lovers of themselves. And it was incredible to see people connect with your struggle and cry with you. It's a miracle. Thank you.
That was a privilege to see, especially the international students, seeing their people who had come to visit, their bishops, their deacons, their, and also to grieve with the loss that's happening in their countries, to encourage one another and to be encouraged. So it was a privilege to be there for that. Who's next? Laura? So I was instructed not to call on Flora earlier, so she changed her mind.
He always bothers me. I don't know why. I love him. I just wanted to tell you, I've been to Wineskin so many times, and you never know what's going to happen or what the Lord will reveal to you when you go. So I heard a speaker from Northern Sudan who grew up as a Muslim, And he started talking about what his family was like. And I thought, I'm going to hear something that I've always wondered all my life. Why do Muslims hate us? Why? I don't understand. And when I heard about how this gentleman grew up, when he was a child, he said his home was where all the terrorists were. And his home, everybody had blood on their hands. You know, and he was just saying that, and I'm just like, you know. And when I'm 8 years old, my father drops me off at this school, and I'm looking for my father to come back and pick me up after 1 day, after 2 days, after 3 days, after 1 week, 1 month. My father never comes back until 2 years later. And he said, in that time, they taught him how to hate, how to kill. All right, so he was taught this. And so he said that he was in school with a Christian boy. And he asked him, why are you coming to this school? And I thought to myself, in all the work that I've done, and any time that we did schools through ARDF, we knew that there would be an opportunity for Muslims and Christian children to be together so they can understand each other. They can grow up together. They're going to be friends. I went to school with you, that kind of thing. And I thought, yeah, but not the kind of schooling that this man had. And then he said that him and another boy beat up this Christian boy to the point of almost killing him. And as the story goes on, he started telling about, you know, when the Muslims say that you're dead to me because you've become a Christian, that's what his family did. Well, I've heard that a lot, but I did not know that they actually go through a proper funeral. They get a coffin. They put your name on it. They bury it. And I was just like flabbergasted that I couldn't imagine doing that with one of my kids or grandchildren or whatever, you know? And so I just sat there and I just kept listening to this. And as the story goes on and his life goes on into all the different things that he did, he met a priest in Egypt, and the priest was asking him all kinds of questions. Where did you live? Where did you go to school? All of these kinds of things. And he said, why are you asking me all of this? He said, because I know you. And he said, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. It happened to be the boy that he almost killed. And he still bears the scars of the things he did to him. His arm, he broke his arm, he broke his leg, he did other things to him. And so his arm was not useful. He, you know, to do something, he'd have to pick it up. But that whole time, all I kept saying is, thank you, Lord. Now I understand. I understand what Muslims are going through and how it is beneficial for the kids to be in school together, because that hate can't start and grow in them.
Thank you.
So the boy who was the Muslim who hated Christians became a Christian, and his family did a funeral for him. Then he became a bishop. And then it was years later, he was in Egypt, and this other priest was talking to him, and he thought he had killed this child. And he said, I don't remember, what was his name?
Zechariah.
It was Zechariah. And he said, I am Zechariah. And he was there with forgiveness. And so, yeah, to hear that testimony was powerful. Sharon.
And when Zechariah reached into his bag and got his Bible, and he opened his Bible, and he had written the bishop's name, when he wasn't the high school student he knew, Yasser Eric, in his Bible, and been praying for him for 25 years. I was a speaker at New Wineskins, and something upsetting happened before I left, and I was going to be a greeter and all, and I just had some time with the Lord, and the Lord really ministered to me. And so I just want to thank you all for praying for me, because, you know, when I was talking, I was really able to focus, you know, on the content. I was talking about what would our churches look like if they were Great Commission churches. And I'm glad to say, you know, one thing I'm mentioning is I'm saying to the priests, you know, how many of you talked about the missions implications of the passages out of the lectionary last week? And I was so glad that Father Bill actually had. And, you know, I mentioned about we have the Hispanic service and that we sent a short-term team to Germany that, planted a church among Muslims in Germany. So Church of the Savior anonymously got honorable mention. I was just giving examples of the kinds of things churches could do. So I thought, well, I'll use my own church. And so I just want to thank you for that. And also I was on the prayer team. And also I had just been asking God for divine appointments for me and for just everybody there. And it was just astonishing. I mean, in the prayer line, and, you know, I was talking to one of the other people on the prayer team, and, you know, sort of where he was, nobody had come over there. And then we got to pray with somebody on the path, and he said, well, finally I got to pray with somebody. And then that lady walked away, and junior in college said, you can pray for me. He just heard the comment on the path. And so he said, well, you know, I mean, it isn't much, but I just gave my heart to the Lord and asked him, you know, if he wanted me to use. We're like, so it was just so encouraging. More than half of the people at the conference were new, had never been there. Some of you don't know, the idea for a conference was originally, the Lord gave me the idea. And in 1992, and, you know, I was just going to have I thought we should have a missions conference to celebrate the Hanums' 20 years of ministry before they retire. And then just seeing with my own eyes what the Lord has done is amazing. So anyhow, I was on the prayer team, and the Lord just kept bringing up the people who I had been there, and I knew how to pray for that. Or, there was a missionary I knew who came back to the prayer room, and I just... You know, she was encouraged to see somebody who knew her, who loved her, and just was able, you know, they're in a hard situation. So I just felt like everywhere we turned, the Lord was putting things together, you know, and just divine appointments. It was amazing. And also the Lord just really ministered to me. You know, I'm on the prayer team, and then, you know, pretty soon everybody's walked away, and I'm like, you know, I need some help. And I look around, and there's two women over there, and there's a fairly young guy and a. I thought, I need a man to pray for me. And this man has a ministry. It was tailor-made. So I just thanked the Lord. And there were other things. I just felt safe, you know. So just thank you very much.
Had to buzz me off before, and it's never good when we get home. I will tell you, I didn't go to New Wineskins, but God really hang with me, and you'll hear how it connects. So this fall, the women of COTS are studying, it's called The Quest. And this week in my Bible study, the Lord had me in Genesis, where in chapter 15, he is following through with Abram after he's called Abram to go on quest with him, to follow him, to leave his country, and to go. And the Lord showed me that when he called Abram originally, he didn't spell out everything. He just said, come and follow, and I will show you. And I was thinking of how like that was our original call to ministry, you know, 17 years ago. No, 20 years ago, when he said, come and go to Trinity, and I will show you. And so often when Bill is doing ministry, and I love our partnership, and I'm real comfortable being the behind-the-scenes girl, I don't often get to go with him to things like New Wineskins. And I didn't do it, even though they have wonderful programs for children. We have four kids spanning a decade. It was never convenient for all of us to go to do things like this. And so this week, I wasn't taking care of children. I was babysitting a house project that won't end. But back into Genesis, the first verse that I studied this week started with the words, and sometime later, dot, dot, dot. And as I was simmering in that, and I'm praying for Bill, who is at New Wineskins with our son, and I realized that all those years I was at home with Bill raising these kids, and you know, you just never know how it's going to go. And twice this week, while Bill was at Wineskins, John called me, so lit up. Mom, you'll never believe who I ran into. And I just came from this session, and I'm really, God is clarifying my call. And yesterday, he called me and said, I know I'm called to the pastorate, Mom. And sometime later, I thought, all those years with this little twerpy kid, and sometime later, God calls him to ministry. And so I may not have witnessed in person all that y'all did, but I felt privileged to pray for you. And it was so satisfying and gratifying to hear my son, through his eyes, experience it for the first time as an aspirant. Excited to do ministry and to do mission with the Lord.
Our scriptures today touch on Matthew walking away from his former life and embracing the Savior. And we're invited to join him. And through New Wineskins, we see people that have given up their lives, but we also see those that are supporting them as they go into ministry. We all have a role to play. So this week, I pray that you will simmer on, what's your call? What is he calling you to give up? And how's he calling you to participate? Even if it's just the joy that I've found in, I'm now going to pray for Nigeria. I'm now going to pray for China. I'm now going to pray for Vietnam. For the lost, for those that don't have the hope of Jesus, and for God to be senders. And to not have that be a weight of prayer, but a joy in joining with God in his work. I pray that God will speak to each of you this week. Let's close this time with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are at work now. You are alive and you are at work. You are living and active. Your word is living and active. And we are not abandoned. We are not orphans, but we are your sheep. And you invite us to join you in your work. And you will be with us as we join you in your work, when we're persecuted, when we suffer, when you bring correction to us. You are always with us and you don't forsake us. Lord, help us not to forget the hope that we have in your name. And Jesus, shine brightly through us as lights for those who are absorbed with themselves, who are so focused on life and all the things of life that they're missing their true purpose. They're missing true life. Help us to be lights for your gospel. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.